Kings, if you would, please. 2 Kings. I keep telling myself I need to work on that. I was talking this morning a little bit at breakfast. One of the reasons why I don't have a lot of time for that is I don't have a lot of time. So I did find some time this week, and I hope it was blessed to you. If you would, please, 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to speak on a familiar story, but kind of just lean a little different in the approach. But if you would, please, 2 Kings chapter 4. The Bible says, "Now there cried a certain woman," in verse 1, "of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." Now, just to let you know something about the history, just so we can get going on the right track. Back then, women didn't go out and work. Their husband died, their sons did the work. You got that? So that's just how it was. The women stayed in the house, did the work. And Elijah said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And there I'll come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and shall set aside that which is full." So she went forth and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." The oil stayed. Stopped. Amen? Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest." Heavenly Father, help me as I preach. I do praise you, Lord, that you came down and died for all of us poor sinners. Thank you. Thank you, though, no matter what condition we were in, you loved us, cared for us. Even while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Thank you. I pray now that you'll help me as I preach. Give me the words to say that bring honor and glory to thee. Set my soul on fire, Lord, and may the word of God go forth in a powerful, unapologetic way, and may we grow thereby. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The miracles of God are so interesting. Title for my message, for those that take notes, is "To the Last Pot." God's power in the lives of the individuals in the Word of God seem to differ according to the individual themselves. Here, there is a woman with a problem. Other places, the Word of God, it is a king who needs victory, water, or guidance along the way. But he always answers when you call and trust in him. Here is a story of a poor widow woman. Yet God does not think that she isn't important enough to take his time to meet her need. On the contrary, he comes in the midst and meets it head on. He didn't say, "Oh, you're not important enough. You're too low. This isn't important." Think about it. A meal for me or a debt for me is not as important than the salvation of a nation. Come on, amen. But God has time for me as well, and he had time for her. Aren't you glad? He will do the same for you and I if we trust him to do it. So let's see some things, if you would, please. First of all, we see the means God uses to show his power. Keep a marker, because we're going to come back to it. Go to Psalm in chapter 102. Psalm 102, if you would, please. Go ahead and read some verses, and we'll get right into this. Psalm 102, look down at verse 8, or 28, Psalm 102. The Bible says, "The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee." This is important because this is the family he's talking about. Okay, Psalm 103, look down at verse 17. The Bible says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children."
Now, listen to me. What is God means? See, the means God uses to show his power, first of all, his promises of the Bible. God has promises all over the scriptures that said he's going to take care of us. He's given us a Bible, and it's the power of the Word of God. Amen? The Bible says it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We have a Bible that when it shows up, things happen. Some of you may not know the story of the SHM Bounty, Majesty Service ship that a mutiny had happened, and they ended up in the South Seas on an island. And it was vile. The men were vile. The women were vile. And finally, one of the men stood up and said, we need to fix this. This is getting worse. Murders became terrible. And all the kinds of sins came about. And he dug in one of the chests and found an old King James Bible. Got it out and started talking about it and reading it and preaching it. 50 years later, the people came to that same island and they had a church. Murderers down to almost nothing. Crime was almost gone. What? The Bible showed up. It's got power. Think about the Bible that came into your life and changed your life. He had promises in the Word of God. In our text in chapter 4, verse 1, now there cried a woman, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah. Amen. Not only is his means by the promises of the Word of God, is the answer is usually pretty close. It's manifested straight out. Hey, look at that. He said, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elijah said to her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in thine house. Come on, amen. Hey, God's going to manifest how he's going to take care of our problems. He sends faith to seek an answer from God. You remember the guy in Mark chapter 9? He said, Lord, I believe. Anybody remember what he said after that? Help thou mine unbelief. So what did the Lord do to help his unbelief? He sent himself. Because he went to the apostles and the apostles couldn't do it. And they even came up to him later on and said, how come we can't cast out devils? And he goes, well, this kind cometh not by what? Prayer and fasting. It's a different kind of battle when you're fighting devils. A lot of other stuff can be taken care of just by prayer, but this is by prayer and fasting, and they didn't do that. And so Jesus doesn't need to do prayer and fasting. He's God. And he just took care of it. I believe. Help to believe. God will give you help to believe. I like it. Listen, I tell these people all the time, they come to me and says, preacher, I need healing. I go, here's how God said to do it. We're going to do it this way. People need to hear the confidence in the preacher. Elijah says, okay, what do you want me to do? Okay, what do you have in your house? We'll take care of this. The Bible's not a question mark. Bible's not a hyphens on both ends and in parentheses. This might happen if you want. Go through scriptures. There's a lot of shalt not. Amen. God does things in that way. He gives the means to use his power. He allows problems sometimes in our life to show his power. The material, not only that, number two, the material God uses. This is interesting in here. Out here, what was it? A pot of oil. Now, I don't know how big this pot was. In our house, we got tons of different sizes of pots. In fact, I found out as a man, you better ask which one you should use. Because if you use the wrong pot, you could get beat up for that. And I remember when the guys came back with, I don't remember how many, 13, I think it was 13, 14 crabs. And they came in and says, Dad, it was Brian and Brad, I don't know who else was with you. I think it was Brian and Brad and Jerry. And they came up and says, where do you want to cook these? Outside. And I ain't cooking them at all. And you ain't using my grill. You ain't cooking crab on my grill that I cook steaks. He goes, what are we going to use? So I got some Coleman stoves out there and gave him one of my wife's pots. Oh. she's going to have crabs. She's going to use her own pot. Amen. Hey, but what I'm trying to say, I don't know how big this pot is. I don't know if it was a small one. It doesn't really matter. The point of the matter is it's a pot of oil. And the Lord says, hey, you take that pot of oil. I'm going to take care of your debt. And she's looking at this pot of oil and says, boy, better be some stupid guy out there that's going to pay extra for this pot of oil. This isn't enough, the Lord. It's amazing what God's used in the Bible. Think about it. What did God use for Moses to create all these miracles? A shepherd's staff, a rod. That's it. He says, what's in thy hand? A rod. But later on, it became the rod of God. Be careful where that thing's pointed, because something's going to happen. Every time he pointed that thing, something happened, good and bad, when he struck the rock twice, right? Samson, what did the Lord use for Samson? You know, what did he use, an AK-47? Did he use an AR? How about a hand grenade? One of them grenades, you seen them grenades that they drop and they blow up and they got stuff in it like nails and everything and it just goes, kills a bunch of people, maims a bunch of people. What do you use? A jawbone of an ass. There was a dead animal laying around. He picked it up and defeated 1,000 trained soldiers with swords and spears and all kinds of things, malices and everything. He beat them up. David, what do you use to beat tall Goliath? They wanted to throw all this kind of armor on him, and God said, "No, no, 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 no." David even said, "I haven't proved them. I don't know how to use those." I've had people come up and say, "You need to use this, preacher." I remember when all these new tools started coming. This is a cool tool, preacher. And I go, "I'll use this. I'm used to this. I'm not used to using that." David goes, "I'm not used to that. I'm gonna go out and grab 5 small stones." And someone said, "Why 5?" Because Goliath had 4 other brothers and sons there. That's called faith now. Amen. And I don't like, they showed a cartoon. We saw a cartoon years ago, and David threw about 6 or 7 stones and finally hit him. No, he only needed 1. He used a slingshot. A little bit more than what we get at the store. Amen. There was a young boy one day. He was over 5,000 men plus women and children. I read years ago what it would take for the children of Israel to eat one day in the wilderness. I don't remember who told me. I can't remember who it was. I think, Brad, you think you read that? If Sam Walton, all of his money, he couldn't feed the sparrows, what was that, 1 year or something like that? Crazy. God, all these environmentalists that say that we're destroying the earth. Yeah, there are some stupid people out there destroying the earth, but the earth's not falling apart. Come on. There were 2.5 million people when I was a kid. There's 8.5 plus today, and we're still eating. We're still bathing. We still have enough heat, enough trees around. Come on. Amen? But what? I mean, you could have backed up 14 tractor loads of food from Walmart, and it still wouldn't have fed all those people. Imagine that's basically the size of Port Angeles. What food and water they go through there in one meal in Port Angeles. There's about 14,000 up there. That's about how many were here. And all it took was, what? I wrote it down, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Man, they must have been you remember the Wonder Bread family loaf that had 482 slices? And you remember that bread? You could wad it up, get it wet, and throw it at your sister? Like a snowball. I'm telling you, folks, God can use some funny things, can he? How about this widow? Empty pots. Empty. Can you imagine when they first came in, the first pot she started to pour? I guarantee you she was doing that very carefully. And she was pouring in that very carefully to get in there. And she didn't want to waste a drop. Am I right? But I guarantee you after that first pot got filled, she looked back and her pot was filled. Excitement came. I'm sure she was looking for a banker or somebody to give her money. How about that? Not only the examples of what the materials are used, how about the employees, the materials towards employees? Here we have a widow. But you remember the widow that took care of somebody else? We find that. A king. Sometimes God uses kings to take care of things. Kings to do miracles. I still remember David said he could leap over a wall. He must have been Jackie Chan on steroids. Jump over a wall. Priests sometimes. Captives. Remember the captive little girl that told Naaman about Elijah? Elisha, sorry. You remember the rebellious prophet that God blessed anyway named Jonah? How about a fisherman, a tax collector, men, women, boys with a lunch? Anyone that desires for God to be used of God, God will use you. The question is, what do you have that God can use? What's available in your life that God go, you know what? I could do a miracle with that. Someone told me, how come we don't see any miracles? Maybe we're hanging on too tight and saying, God, use this as a miracle. If you would, please, not only that, we see the method. We see the method used, God uses to show his power. Right here in our chapter, look what it says here in verse 4. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, upon thy sons, shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Come on, amen. There's a couple ways that God does it. And I think it's interesting, his methods. And what I think about what's interested with his methods, it varies. Right here, it's privately. No one saw it. Can you imagine this woman coming out with all these barrels or buckets and pots and whatever she can find full of oil, selling it at the market? Isn't this that same widow woman that had no money? Now she's got all this. Can you imagine what they thought when she told them what happened? The prophet told me to go in my house and start filling buckets and borrow buckets, pots, and pour the oil. And look at all the oil God gave me. And they're going, oh, yeah, sure. Where'd you steal it from? Am I right? People today, they don't believe in miracles. But God did this privately. I don't know why God did this privately, but he did it privately. But that's not how he filled the barrels at the wedding. That was publicly. I mean, he goes, hey, fill them full of water. They fill them full, and as they were walking, it turned into wine. Or as when they were pouring it out. If it was as they were pouring it out, I'm sure those servants are going, cool. There's another glass. I'm telling you, God does it. He does it publicly. Remember Martha and Mary. He could have gone to the tomb and raised Lazarus or kept him from going in the tomb. I don't know if you realize this. When they talked to Jesus and said, Lazarus is dying, he was already dead. Because they came and he waited 2 days and he came, but he was already dead 4 days. Okay. So he was told after he died. Or maybe as the messengers were going, Lazarus died. We don't know. But Lazarus was dead and Jesus knew it. He said, Lazarus is dead. He sleepeth. I got to go awake him. And they didn't know what he meant. He's dead. Physically, he's dead, but I'm going to go awake him. And I'm going to do it publicly. I'm going to pray publicly. I'm going to pray out loud. I don't understand people that don't pray out loud. Jesus sure did. He said, don't make a show of it. Jesus said, I'm going to pray this loudly so everybody knows there is a God in heaven. And the reason why Lazarus died is so I could do it publicly. Say it privately. The personality, personally, God is personal. He is a God of the individual. If you would, please, I know some of you could quote it, but I want you to go to Hebrews. And I know I'm going to say the verse late so you can wait a second before you start quoting it in your mind. But I want you to see this because I know we get ahead of ourselves sometimes and we lose. Sometimes because we know the Bible so much, we lose the intent of the Bible, the sense of the Bible. We just kind of flow through the quoting. That's the kids come up to the front and they want to quote a verse to me in school, and they'll come up. I got to quote John 3:16. I said, they go, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. I said, John 3:16. Is it 3:16? Yeah, John 3:16. For God so loved. God did what? They're looking at me, shut up and let me hurry up and get this done. I want them to, and I'll tell them, I want you to know it and know what it says. Slow down and listen to the words. Listen to the words. But without faith, verse 6, it is what? Impossible. Chapter 11, verse 6, sorry. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is what? Impossible. Is that what it says? Is my Bible correct when God says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible? So if you're without faith, you're without God, and it's impossible to please Him. I want you to see the next two words. For He. Are you here? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Did it say for John? Did it say for Joan? Did it say for Jim? I'm trying to get all J's here. I need another J. Where's another J? Jason? Jasmine? Not Joshua. No. No. Jack. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Wow. God is personal. I believe God blesses nations. I honestly believe God has blessed America. I believe he's blessed America because of its intent to start. It is the more money and missionaries go out of the United States. Still, Philippines is catching up with us. If we don't watch out, they're going to pass us with how many preachers are being sent out. But there's more gospel and money going to missions out of America than any other country in the world. In fact, we beat most, put them all together and we beat them. And that's where I believe God has protected America. And bless America. I mean, think about it. Someone said if you eat three meals a day and have more than one set of clothing, you're richer than anybody else in the Bible. I think it was 80% of everybody in the world. About 80% of everybody in the world do not eat three meals a day. And amen? We're spoiled. Some of you are eating more than three meals a day. So, personally, publicly and privately. Fourth thing, if you would please, and that is the measure. Go back to our text in 2 Kings. Go back to the text to the last pot. Not only the means and the material and the method, but let's see the measure God uses to show His power. What's the measure of it, if you would please? Again, look down at verse 5 and 6. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. It came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her sons, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. The first thing about the measure God uses, it's determined by the faith we have. God's not going to do anything if you have no faith. How many of you would agree with me that there were 12 apostles in the boat when Jesus walked on the water and Peter cried out, is it thou, O Lord? Am I right? And when Peter cried out, if it's thou, Lord, bid me come to thee. Would you say Peter had some faith? And so he got out of the boat, walked, started looking around. You know the story. Started to sink. And the Lord says, O thou of little faith. Hold on a second. I've heard sermon out of sermon out of sermon out of sermon of how stupid Peter was of letting the conditions of this world make him sink. I'm going, hold on a second. How come I don't hear anything about those 11 that stayed in the boat? Peter at least could come back and go, yeah, I sunk Nathaniel, but I got out of the boat. I walked on the water, James and John. The sons of thunder. Come on, amen. Philip, yeah, I had to get help, but at least I was out in the water when I got help. I was just cowering in the boat. I can imagine Peter doing that. That was his personality. Come on, amen. It's determined. Hey, you might have great faith. You might have like that one centurion that sent his servant, go tell Jesus, I have a servant that is sick, that he would come and heal him. He didn't even say come and heal him. Just tell him I have a servant that's sick. I want you to heal him. So the servant went. The servant started coming back. And the centurion heard about it. Go, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. He sent another servant, said, I'm not worthy. Just speak the word. And what the Lord said, I have not seen so great faith. What kind of faith do you have about God to do a miracle with you or in your life? You know how much it takes to move a mountain? Grain of a mustard seed. It's not the amount of faith. You say, well, preacher, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I have faith, but it's small. It's not how much faith you have. It's who you have faith in. We have a God that could do anything. My lands, you read the stories over and over again. They're not fairy tales. These are actual events. And this woman got to see a miracle. I don't know about you, but I've seen this same kind of miracle in my own family. And I got up and praised God for it. I've seen things multiply before my eyes. That's exciting to see. That only happens if you believe in the God that can do that. It's determined by our faith. It is also determined by our obedience to his commands. If he says to her, once you go in, shut the doors, have your sons go out and borrow vessels and pour in the vessel. And she decided not to do that. She decided to go house to house and pick up the vessels and pour as she's going and pay the creditors off. It wouldn't happen. Amen. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 3, there were no water for the soldiers. And they're out in the desert. They have no water. They need water. And the Lord goes to the minstrel, Elijah, and he prays. And the minstrel starts playing. And Elijah prophesies, says, I want you to get some shovels. And I want you to go out and dig ditches. And they're all looking at each other going, you want us to do what? We're in a desert and you want to dig ditches in the sand? He goes, yeah, because the water's going to come. And it came. Come on, amen. But if they didn't dig the ditches, they couldn't get the water. Come on. The depletion of the army of Gideon. You remember Gideon? 32,000 soldiers, and you're going to get a great victory. You're going up against 1 million soldiers, but you have 32,000. That's too much. Once you go to the water, and those of, I want you to go to him and said, if you're scared, if you've been married and you haven't consummated your marriage, go back. Whatever it was, 22,000 left. God looks at him and goes, that's a good start, but you ain't got too much. Go down to the water, and when you see them guys fall down on their face and start sucking up the water, send them pups home. Only get the ones that bend on one knee and lap it up like a dog. Keep out those. There were 300 plus Gideon. Now I could do something. And a great victory came for me. You know the story. Come on, amen. Hey, but if he wouldn't have done that, they would have lost that battle. Washing in the muddy Jordan, you remember Naaman? 7 ducks in muddy water. The Lord told him by Elijah, he comes to Elijah and he goes, hey, this great man Naaman, he loves God and he's a mighty valiant man, but he's a leper and he needs to be healed. And he's told, you're going to hear him. The king sent us to you. And he sends his servant, Gehazi. And Gehazi steps out the door and says, my master says, go to the Jordan and dunk 7 times and you'll be healed. He goes, we're a man. He goes, or not, Parpa or whatever their name's, Harpo, whatever, Hupo, Hopo. I don't care. I don't remember these. Aren't these my rivers and my land cleaner than that? Jordan's always muddy. And he started going home. And one of his servants says, hey, if he would have had you do a great thing. Because what did he say? I thought he had come out and call heaven and earth, you know. He sends his servant. And so he did. He dunked 7 times and it came out as skin as a baby. If he wouldn't have done it, defeating the prophet, the first, remember that? Here comes Elijah in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, and he's getting fed by the ravens. Can you imagine that? A raven is an unclean bird. And the Lord's dropping meat and bread off to him while he's by the brook. The brook dries up, and he goes, well, that's the first couple of days. I'll send you this poor widow woman, and or this widow woman, she'll take care of you. So he goes in. I wonder if God said that one, because it doesn't say. He just walked in town, saw a lady walk by. Said, I guess he thought, well, you're the one. You're the first woman to walk by. I want you to feed me a meal and give me some water. And she goes, hey, okay. And he goes, I want you to do mine first. He goes, only have enough for one meal. And he goes, well, do mine first. Afterwards, God will feed you. If she wouldn't have fed the prophet first, she wouldn't have had almost 3.5 years of good food. Amen? No Samuel, no 5 children. Remember Hannah? Prayed for Samuel so she can give Samuel to the Lord. If she wouldn't have given Samuel to the Lord, she wouldn't have had 5 children after that. God's not a debtor. Now, that's a pretty good trade, ladies. I had 7 children. There were times I would have gave one of them up. Probably every one of them, one time of their lives, I would have said, yeah, I'd trade that one in for a better model. I'm glad I kept them. No bringing pots, no life and prosperity. If you don't bring the pots in and fill them, no prosperity. Come on, amen? Not only is it determined by the faith you have, it's determined by the obedience, but it's also determined, now listen to this very carefully, it's also determined by our desire to see Him work. Do you want eternal life? Call on His name. Do you want a life that's peaceful? Repent and follow Him. Do you want a life abundant? Come up from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen? When we want to see God work, He works. God's power is revealed to many in many wonderful ways in the Word of God. He works through the lives of the individuals who trust and obey Him. The question you have to ask yourself, do you want to see God's hand working in your life? How many pots then are you willing to give Him so He can fill them? Heavenly Father, thank You for this word of God that You gave us. Thank You for these people that came out. I thank You for this story, this event that enables us to understand the things of God's Word. I thank You for the blessing that we have a great God. I do not see You dead. I don't see You as a God that can't work in 2026. We have so much, we're unwilling to give up anything to see God work. Time. It took me years to finally give up an extra hour or two in my day just to pray. I'm sorry it took so long. But I thank You for the times we have had since. I beg of You, Lord, that we'd be willing to repent of our lack of faith. Repent for our carnality, our worldliness, our materialistic hearts. That we would step out by faith, look up into the skies and say, Lord, I need help me because I believe, yet help my unbelief. Tell me what I must do to see Your hand work in my marriage, in my family, in my job, in my health. I need You to open up and send someone or send the Word to tell me what I need to do. Give me courage to fulfill and be obedient to You so I could see the miracle happen.